All right, well, welcome to Pearls and Swine. This is Pastor Nate. I'm here with Pastor Travis and Todd as well. And so we wanted to talk a little bit about thankfulness and gratefulness this week with Thanksgiving coming up. I've been looking over some passages of scripture about being thankful and came up with the one in Colossians 3, 15, and it says, "Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you are called in one body, and be thankful." What do you think, Trav?
That's good, man. I think I'll read that Thanksgiving.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well, you're at a loss for words.
I'm at a loss for words already.
Let me step in.
Step on in.
I'll rescue
you. Welcome to the party.
What strikes me about that is it says, be thankful. I don't know if that is really true to the original Greek. You know, this is, of course, an English translation that's using language that we use today. But the words that they would have used would have been to give thanks as a verb. What we oftentimes think of in our language today is being thankful, as in your heart has to feel it, in the same way that we think about feeling love. You know, like, if I love my wife, then the marriage is good. But if I don't feel it, then the love must be gone and it's all over. But that's not the case. Scripture actually talks about loving as a verb. It's an action that we do, and it talks about giving thanks.
Yeah, that's good, Todd. And actually, in the two verses down from there, it says, "Whatever you do in word and deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." So yeah, your point is well made. With that, in verse 17, the one I just read, it doesn't really matter our situation, right? There isn't a, you know, if things are going well, be sure to give thanks to God. It's whatever you do in word and deed, do everything and give thanks. Mm-hmm. So if things aren't going well, give thanks. When things are going well, give thanks. We have this holiday where we take time to really focus on that, but I think sometimes we're at a loss for words, or we do the normal, oh, I'm thankful for my family, I'm thankful for my friends, and that's about it. But scripture, I think, is calling us to have an attitude always.
An attitude of gratitude. You made a good point, because I think that we're called to be thankful in the good, we're called to be thankful in the trials, but that's not always easy to do. So when you're facing something hard, how do you walk in that path of thankfulness, that path of gratitude? I mean, that's not easy to do. And we come up to a holiday now where we're supposed to be thankful for stuff. And what about the person that's out there that maybe feels like they don't have much to be thankful about? What do you say to them?
Sure. When tragedy is struck, I think of my aunt and uncle who recently lost their only son. Around the holidays, it's really, really hard. And so they're coming to the first Thanksgiving, not being able to have that meal with him. And that can be really challenging as we, you know, look to God and think, well, God, couldn't you have avoided this, or couldn't you have intervened here and kept this evil from happening? So that can be really difficult, but we need to remember that he's not unaware, and he does mourn when evil things do happen to us. And there's lots of things that we do have that we can absolutely be thankful for, including the hope of a great future with God. That hope and being with him in heaven one day is the one that maybe our thanks need to dwell on sometimes when things are not going well here. But Lord, help me endure, because I know there'll be one day where I won't have to endure. I'll be with you. So yeah, any thoughts, Todd?
Our Thanksgiving holiday was started by Abraham Lincoln. He had a proclamation of Thanksgiving in 1863. At the time of the Civil War, we had already lost 366,000 Americans, brother fighting brother. We had 5 million Americans enslaved. There wasn't, I would say, in absolute terms, a lot to be thankful for. But really, there's three types of Thanksgiving. There's absolute Thanksgiving when everything is going well, and I look at our prosperity today, our standard of living. There's a lot to be absolutely thankful for. But there's also relative thanksgiving. Somebody in whatever dire situation they have can look to somebody else in a worse situation and say, well, I'm thankful that I'm at least as healthy as I am today. But when all that fails, there is obedient thanksgiving. Hmm. And sometimes that's just what we need to turn to, is giving thanks out of obedience.
Yeah.
Some people will find themselves in that situation today, and or on Thursday, they'll find themselves in that situation where on Thursday they'll need to give thanks obediently. But it's part of our command. Thessalonians, the Apostle Paul writes, to rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and give thanks in all circumstances. And that's what you touched on, Pastor Nate, is this idea of joy of what's to come. Happiness is about your circumstances. It's what happens to be at a given time. It's about luck or chance, whatever situation you're in. You know, maybe you can be happy, but that's circumstantial. Joy is looking to the future.
Mm-hmm.
That's good.
And continuing on in that verse, it's, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. And I'm reminded of, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, his love endures forever. And when I've found myself in those times of trial and tribulation, just even questioning sometimes, like, God, where are you? I can rest in that hope that God's always working. He's always good. It may not be the right here in the immediate moment, the right now, that I'm going to see that, or I'm going to see that for my family. But that's where the faith component comes in. And that's where I'm thankful. I'm grateful that I have faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, that there is that hope for a better future, a brighter tomorrow, which may not come to pass here in the earthly realm, but we have that hope for a future, for an eternity. And so when I have friends that don't know who Jesus is, that don't believe, and they go through these crisis times, they go through these life-changing, catastrophic events, it's hard for them to have anything to grasp onto, because all they have is the here and now. So if you aren't in that circumstantial thankfulness where life is legit and it's cool and it's good around me, like I've got money, I've got food, and, you know, just the immediate needs of the here and now, they struggle. It's a blessing for us to be able to share that hope that we have in something that is not here, not now. It's partially here and now, but it's going to be then and there when it's ultimately consummated.
Nice. Yeah, I'm going to switch gears a little bit on us. What do y'all guys do for Thanksgiving? What does that look like for your family, or how do you tend to celebrate that? What's kind of unique for you guys?
We have a tradition of inviting people over. That it's something that extends beyond our family. We really enjoy that. That's one of the things that makes our Thanksgiving special, is reaching beyond our family and bringing other people in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's kind of sharing that blessing that you have received. We don't do anything really fantastic or amazing. If we're around, I mean, sometimes we're traveling down back to Wisconsin to visit with family down there. But if we're, and my family will do that too, we'll always have somebody that doesn't have a home for Thanksgiving or doesn't have anybody to hang out with. And I think that's a really cool thing, because it teaches our kids that we can share what we have. Obviously, we want to teach our kids sharing. You know, one of the non, like, outreach kind of traditions that we have, we like to do our turkey in the smoker. I love smoked turkey. You can't beat it. So that's something that we kind of do that's fun. And the best way, I'll give you a little secret insider tip, is if you do your turkey partially in the smoker and then finish it off in the deep fryer, it'll be the best turkey that you'll ever have.
Well, I can't have turkey. So that's one of the traditions that we have.
Meatloaf at the Marsh House.
I'm allergic to turkey. So I have to do something a little bit different, which typically is a ham. And so, yeah, when we actually invite others over as well. Before my parents moved up here, we would get together with like another transplant family who had to stick around for the holidays. And so that was one of our traditions. And then have ham instead of turkey, which is always takes people off guard a little bit sometimes. So we have to warn them in advance, but there's always tons of food that we get to eat. And typically we'll play like a board game or something like that that's really long. My son loves to play Risk, and that's typically one of the games because it takes like 4 hours to play. And so we'll have some college students who are excited about that too, that we'll get a really good game of Risk going. Sometimes turn on the football game, root for the Cowboys, and it's a good day. Yeah, so
I think it's important to have those traditions. And we developed another tradition here where we watched this silly movie from the 1970s called Snowball Express. And it's this old Disney movie where a guy and his family inherit an old ski lodge, a hotel in some place in the Rocky Mountains, and they open a ski hill, and it's just a silly movie, but we didn't even try to do the tradition. We may have watched it 1 year, and then the next year the kids wanted to watch it again, and the next year they watched it again, and now it's just the tradition. It's just what we do. I think 1 year we misplaced the DVD, and so we were scrambling, and we found it on Amazon Prime. I think we had to pay the rental fee on Amazon to stream it, and then the next year we found the DVD again, and all was good. But it is something that they crave. They just crave having that tradition.
Those are awesome traditions to have. I mean, I bet we can all go back to when we were growing up and think of the traditions that we had as kids. We used to go and we'd do Thanksgiving with my grandparents and then the extended family. So I had like 10 different cousins that would come over out of my mom's two brothers' families. The house was tiny. We'd pack that thing out. We'd watch football. We'd do the whole meal, but we'd always go outside and play a football game too. So it was always awesome if there was snow on the ground, because as kids, you just, load up in the snow pants and the jackets and the hats, the mittens, the boots and the whole bit. And you're just out trubbing around in the snow and playing a good old football game.
I hope it was tackle, because
of course it was tackle.
Wearing that many clothes. Like,
it was like you were suited up ready to go. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah,
these traditions are something that is part of the nature of God. And God instituted traditions among his people, and he had a number of festivals that were instituted that they carried out. And even today, in the age of the gospel, Jesus Christ instituted an ordinance of communion in the Catholic tradition. They call it Eucharist. And Eucharist is a Greek word that means thanksgiving. It means Thanksgiving. And that's literally what we're doing. When we have communion, we're giving thanks. So yeah. These traditions are important. And
well, it's remembering what was done for you. That's the cool part about it. As we think about the holidays, for some people, they're not happy. They're just not a good time. For some people, it's a time of recognizing loneliness. And some folks, it's a time of not good memories of depression, or maybe it's a time that they're just in a season of depression. So how do you encourage somebody that's walking through that maybe is out there and Thanksgiving's coming up and they don't have anybody to hang out with, they don't have a place to go?
Yeah. If you're a single person, but you have access to a kitchen and can make a little meal, just, host a game night or day or whatever, that could be an awesome way in which to encourage someone and to build some of that relationship that really we all need. If you have your own family, don't be shy about inviting someone over to be a part of the family for the day. And that's a great way to, like I said, build that relationship and have them to partake in your traditions. If you do some wacky stuff as a family, that's okay. Maybe it's silly to, or you feel silly about it, but letting someone else be a part of that speaks volumes of love and care and connection.
If you're on the other side, if you're finding yourself needing a home and you haven't had somebody invite you over, well, then you need to take the initiative. There's organizations out there who provide meals to the elderly. Be part of that.
Yeah, there's one of our close family friends, a single guy now, no family in the area. His Thanksgiving tradition is to go help with the little brother's friends of the elderly Thanksgiving meal. And I think if you're alone, that's a great spot to get plugged in. You're going to meet a lot of people. You're going to be serving other people, which that can turn your heart from a posture of, sad loneliness to a lot of gratitude and thankfulness really quick when you're serving and helping out other people.
So what are you guys thankful for?
I'm super grateful for my family. A lot of the times in life, as my wife and kids, I take them for granted. When things get busy in life and work and stress hits a peak, they get the brunt of of the not nice side of me. I feel like that's the safe place. And I'm super thankful that they provide that for me to not have to be on all the time at home. But I'm grateful that I have them and I appreciate them and I want to love them better and serve them better.
I'm thankful for Jesus. I mentioned last week that I'm disabled. Yeah, I'm disabled and actually I'm handling this better, my disability better than at other points in my life when things weren't working perfectly, but I wasn't spiritually equipped to handle them. You know, so there was a time after I lost a job and lost a girlfriend that I was in a deep depression and I wasn't connected to the church community. I was a Christian. I understood that Jesus Christ was my savior, that he died for me. I understood that, but I wasn't connected to him really in my everyday life, and I wasn't following him, and I wasn't in fellowship with other Christians. I did not handle that well. I was really in a bad state for several years. Eventually, I got back into the church, and I met my wife, and my relationship with Jesus matured. Then I'm 39 years old. This is now 10 years ago. I was 39 years old. Started having a weak left arm that was eventually diagnosed as ALS. And I was given 2 to 5 years life expectancy. And of course, it was traumatizing, but amazingly, I was able to get through it. You know, I was grounded spiritually. And of course, I had my wife who's been a huge blessing, but we got through it. And well, I guess I didn't get through the disease. I'm still very much disabled and I'm progressing. And I don't know, I guess, you know, I've lived 10 years now and I may have a few more years left in me. I don't really know, but I'm at peace with it. That comes from Jesus Christ. So, you know, I can look at my situation now and say I'm relatively thankful. I'm thankful that my kids are healthy. I'm thankful that I have a lot to do with the things that I volunteer with the church and, you know, other projects that my wife has me working on. I have things to do. There's things that I can be relatively thankful for.
You didn't escape the honey-do list, did you?
But I am absolutely thankful that I have Jesus Christ in my life.
And that's so powerful, man. And I mean, we're so grateful and thankful for you and all that you do. And we hopefully tell you that enough. But I mean, the power of your story and just to see how God has worked in the midst of that type of diagnosis and the devastation that has for you and your family is incredible. It's a testimony to the power of God at work in somebody's life. And for that, I can say I'm thankful for that.
Yeah. Awesome. Yeah. And I have to follow up that. So I wanted to share a little bit with what I'm thankful for. There's so many different things. I think right now, though, I'm just really thankful for my kids. And just seeing them really enjoy different things and enjoy things that I can enjoy with them is really fun. And seeing, you know, them process through their own relationship with God and seeing them pursue Jesus has been really awesome as well. And so I'm just super thankful that God has given me the opportunity to, you know, be a dad and be able to be in the process of helping train kids to be good citizens, but ultimately true followers of Jesus. It's been a lot of fun. And so I'm very, very thankful for them. Thankful for my wife.
She's got to add her into
a trooper and I appreciate her.
She might be listening.
And she's just an amazing, wonderful lady that is my friend and whom I go to for so many things and counsel and wisdom. And so, but yeah, I think Todd, you're right. Like Jesus is the number one thing and has been seeking him and just direction and just asking God for peace as the church is transitioning and all the details that need to be taken care of. Just seeing Jesus really come through for me in those things and coming through for me in other areas as well and being really thankful that I had the opportunity to meet Jesus at a young age. And see him working on my life and follow after him. And so I'm super thankful for that. And I hope if there's anyone out there who doesn't have a faith in Jesus Christ and is wondering what that's about, we'd be happy to talk with you and lead you through what we're talking about, because you know, Jesus is the number one. So feel free to.
I think that's the cool thread that I've picked up through all of the things that we've been talking about is the hope that we have in our faith. And we're all thankful for that. And so if you're out there today and you're listening and you're feeling hopeless and you're feeling alone, yeah, come and reach out to us. You can always catch me on the email, as we like to pass that out as freely as possible here. That's travis@evangelup.org. You can check out our website too. We would love, if you don't have a church home and you're looking for a community that can come around you and love and support you and encourage you in your relationship with Jesus, that can introduce you to Jesus, come and hang out with us. We would love to have you at Evangel. Guys, we hope that you have a great Thanksgiving. If you need somebody to hang out with, reach out. Reach out to them, and it's not always easy, but it's going to be worth it.
Yep. This has been Pearls and Swine. Thanks so much for listening. If you have a topic that you would like us to address, email travis@evangelup.org. Take care. Have a great Thanksgiving.
Right. Thanks.
Thanksgiving.